Today's date is August 21st, 2009. Wes, if you'll state your name, your age, and your date of birth.
Wes H. Young. My age is 93. Born February 20th, 1917.
Where were you born?
I was born in Medill, Oklahoma.
Where are we recording this interview today?
North Denver Avenue, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
This would be known as the Brady Heights
Brady
District.
Brady Heights District.
Tell me about your parents' names.
My father's name was Josh. I guess his name was Joshua, but they called him Josh one time. My mother's name was Janie. When I was a race rider, we lived in the 300 block on North Hartford. That's okay. The downtown part of Tulsa. To be exact, Greenwood was the dividing line of the colored section going north from like 1st and 2nd Street, and you'd get to Archie. That was the dividing line where the colored people stayed.
Your wife has just sat down here. Catherine, hello, nice to have you with us. So in 1921, Wes, you were 4 years old.
Right.
May 30th, 1921 was the beginning of all of this.
Right.
So you've heard your relatives and all talk to you about the beginning.
Right.
And how Dick Rowland...
That's right.
And so why don't you tell me what you've heard, what you know about it?
Well, the word was going around on the 31st that Dick Rowland was working uptown in one of the buildings uptown. I forgot the name.
The Drexel building.
He had to go upstairs to use the restroom. He couldn't use the restroom downstairs. So he had to go upstairs to use the restroom.
And he couldn't use the restroom downstairs because that was only...
For whites. He got on the elevator and he went up. When she came back down, he was up using it. She claimed that he touched her improperly.
She screamed. So that alerted...
Well, the way I heard it, she didn't scream, see.
Okay.
She came back down to the first floor and explained it to some of the guys that Dick Rowland had touched her improperly on the elevator. So when he came down from using the latrine up there, the lobby was full of white men, and they grabbed him. To my recollection... It wasn't said that they did anything to him at that particular time. They'd put him in jail. He was in jail. This happened like in the morning. Well, the news got out that the Ku Klux Klan was going to take him out of jail and lynch him that night. The early part of the evening was around 5 or 6 o'clock. A group of black men went to the county jail to see that he would be safe enough to go to trial and not be hung, which like the rumor got out that they were going to take him out and lynch him. The county jail was on 5th and Boulder. When they got up there, 10, 15 minutes after they were there, well, a group of whites came up to get Dick Rowland, and they had a few words. One shot was fired. I guess the police or whatever dispersed the crowd. Well, the blacks came back down on Greenwood side, and the whites stayed around there for a while. Some kind of way, the blacks got Dick Rowland out of the county jail, because it wasn't but one jailer there. They got him out, and they taken him to Sand Springs and hid him in Sand Springs. In the meantime, this group of whites, they wanted to get him and said it's going to lynch him. They didn't get in to the jailhouse to get him. They confronted the mob out on the streets, and in that moment, they got him out and taken him to Santa Springs. After they got him out, well, they come back down on the north side of town, black part of town, and they were celebrating because that was the first time that a Negro man had been rescued from the Ku Klux Klan. They were proud of what they did. See, back in them days, the blacks weren't allowed to go downtown and buy them a gun and a box of ammunition. The only way the blacks had guns and ammunition was from some of their relatives, the people that was in World War I, had kept some ammunition and some of their weapons. Maybe out of 40 or 50 people, it might be 10 or 12 guns, a shotgun or a pistol, and a few rounds of ammunition. When they came back down on Greenwood, the early part of the evening, it wasn't quite dusk, well, they were celebrating. We kept them from being lynched, and they were shooting. And it dawned on them that they were using up their ammunition. So they stopped, and things got quieted to around 1 or 2 o'clock on June 1st.
First, right.
All at once, here come this fire from over on the south side of town, over on the north side of town, in the Negro part of town. And that's where the beginning of the fireworks. They kind of caught the Negroes off of guard, and they got a foothold, and they came in. People were hollering and crying and running, say, run for your life, say, they're going to kill all the Negroes. They said, go north. See, because the white part of town was in the south part of town, so we'd go north. So they went back north on Greenwood, on out to, at the time, it was Beavers Park. Far north, it was almost to Apache, about 3 or 4 blocks this side of Apache. Most of the blacks in there had gotten that far from the Greenwood area because they set the Greenwood area on fire and it was burned down. All the houses and everything there, they don't have a correct answer to how many were killed, but they said from 300 to 1,000 blacks was killed. They never could actually prove that, but it has been stated there was that many killed.